There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, hour number two on this Tuesday. And yeah, a week out from Election Day. And a reminder, too, election night coverage starts a week from tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll be here until we need to go home. Till 10 o'clock or maybe later, the way it looks like on election night. So we got guests coming in from all over the state. They're phoning in. We got folks to give analysis, live reports, all that happening, plus the full FM Talk 106.5 crew here. That's a week from tonight at 7 o'clock with election coverage. All right, I mentioned this as we went into the news break. It's a story that, I'll say this, I first found out about this story in the reporting that was done by Lanyap. And that's where, I actually heard Rob Holbert, before I read the story, I heard Rob Holbert just mentioned something about it, and I said, I did one of those say what that happened in the situation in Bialabatry and with the housing board and with the administration of that housing board, and what the, you know, we've heard us talk about this, right? What they were being paid, what the retirement was, and it left one question after another question after another question. So we're lucky to have Johnny Hatcher with us, because he has firsthand experience in what happened and what is still happening, I guess, down the bayou. Johnny, thanks for being here.
Oh, no problem, Sean.
So, first of all, Bialabatry Housing Board, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Kind of fill us in, folks that have not been following this. So, kind of take us back to what the housing board does, how the folks are seated on the housing board.
Okay. What had happened is, after Katrina, they had to have some housing for the people who were displaced from their homes.
Right.
So, they got federal grant monies, and they started this Safe Harbor. It was a 99-house unit.
Right.
I think it's down to like 97 now because of a couple of houses that were damaged. It was low-income housing, conducive to the people who had lost their homes. I mean, they could afford to be there, a nice home. I think it come out from under the hood in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, about the time Darrell and Virginia had taken over out there.
Yeah. And if we're talking about Darrell and Virginia, these are...
Darrell Wilson and Virginia Huddleston.
Okay.
Virginia Huddleston was the administrative director, and Darrell was the facility manager.
Okay. Of Safe Harbor.
Of Safe Harbor.
Okay.
And they were also married, and their combined income was roughly $210,000.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Absolutely amazing.
We can get to that in a second, but I want to figure out how we got here. So the federal grant money comes in.
Sure.
The property obtained.
Mm-hmm.
The homes go on there.
Mm-hmm.
Folks move in.
Move in.
Okay. Are those folks paying rent? Or those folks,
they pay rent.
They pay rent.
They pay rent.
And so they pay rent. That rent check goes where?
It goes into the authority. The board itself manages it.
Okay.
The board is appointed by the mayor of Bialabatry, whoever that may be at the time.
Okay. So
when
the
it was Stan Wright, then mm-hmm. So on and so forth. It's a 5-member board.
Okay. So the mayor appoints the members of the housing board. Once that's done, does the mayor have any say-so in what the housing board does or doesn't do?
Absolutely not.
So as soon as somebody's on there, they're now autonomous.
That's right. And but they still have a fiduciary duty now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they just don't have to do what the mayor says.
No, they are an independent board.
Okay. So what's your relationship on this?
I'm a board member. I'm actually the treasurer of the board.
Okay. So you're one of the five.
I am one of the five.
And so the mayor appoints you're on the board. Is there a term, or is there? Are you on there for? Is it like the Supreme Court? Or
No, absolutely not. 6-year term.
Okay,
it's 6-year term that you sit, and you. You know, our job as board members is to oversee the operations of the management. We hire a manager and we oversee her to make sure everything's going the way it's supposed to go. And we are physically responsible for the monies. I mean, if there's some monies that come up missing, we're responsible. It could come out of our pocket.
So your job is then to say, all right, let's see what the monthly. So you give us some reports where those things are. You ask those because the board has hired the administrator.
That's right.
So, when was Ms. Huddleston added? When did she come on board as the administrator?
She came on in, I think it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So, at that point, takes over, well, it's the first, I guess it would be the first administrator of Safe Harbor when it was?
Second.
Right? Second, okay. Second administrator. Second.
Felicia Douglas was the first.
Okay. And then that there was a vacancy there, and the board said, okay.
That's exactly right.
How'd that process go? How do you decide somebody? Do they petition for the job? Did the board go out and find Ms. Huddleston?
Lord, I'll tell you how that happened exactly. Daryl and her had got quite chummy, and there was rumor that they were dating. She was still married at the time and going through a divorce. So they got chummy, and he solicited the board to hire her.
And at that point,
he was a board member.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He was a board member, but also working.
Not at that time.
Okay, not at that time.
He was not working there at the time. But he was a board member, one of the board members, one of the five. He solicited the other board members, and you know, they hired her.
Okay.
So after she was hired there, wasn't long after that, she hired him to be the maintenance man.
She hired one of the board members to work for her. The board that had appointed her to the job, she hired one of those board members to work for her.
Yeah, she can't do it. It's, ethics laws are clear about that. It can't be done.
But just it was
nobody,
done.
Yeah, but nobody challenged it. That's the thing. Nobody cared enough to file the complaint.
And Johnny, I'm guilty until Lanyap started reporting on it. I didn't follow it. Did folks in town in the bayou say, hey, what's going on here?
Some did. Some were, but they were discarded as being disgruntled and you know, naysayers and troublemakers and such as that.
So when did this escalate? That's 2016. Kind of walk us through what gets us to where we are here in 2020.
2016, they took it over. It was bad shape because you were still under the HUD guidelines. You could not raise the rent. Okay. Some of that rent down there was $175 a month for a two-bedroom home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's just... But you know what? That's what they did to help the people out.
Right, and there were $17 million federal dollars that came in to make that happen.
That's
right?
Exactly right. And these are new. These were new homes, so the maintenance on them was not that much, so they could carry it for the term of the contract with HUD.
Okay, because Balabatri, what was the input cost? Did the city of Balabatri have money into it? I mean, was it did HUD and the feds take care of the whole thing? And here you go, here's Safe Harbor. Yes. You'll administer it.
Yes, they took care of everything.
Okay, so at $175 a property, you might, even though you wouldn't be making money back if you don't have any money out of your pocket, that
but
might
it's
be
not
enough.
Costing anything.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. You don't have a note you're making on it.
That's exactly right. You don't have a note.
Yeah.
You don't have any damages. You don't have anything going on right now.
Okay.
There's very little maintenance at this point.
Okay.
So you can do that. So at this point, when it was coming to the end, it was getting to a point where you needed to start doing maintenance. You needed these things to be done. So it was getting harder and harder to run.
Okay.
So when they come in, at that time, they were able to go ahead and say, okay, we're out from under HUD now. We can go ahead and raise the rent.
Okay, so
that's what they did.
So HUD's time period that you have to adhere to that is over. Now the rents can go up.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So it made them look really good because now they're coming in, they're able to do things, and they did good. They did. I'm not going to argue that. They did a good job doing that.
Maintaining the properties, doing the...
Well, I'm managing the finances of it. Let me say that.
Okay.
As far as doing the work and the upkeep and stuff like that, no. Did they get a lot of the riffraff out of there? Yes. I mean, they cleaned it. When I say they cleaned it up, I mean they had a lot of drug problems in there.
Okay.
They got all that out of there. It's a great community.
Good.
People really love living there, and they want to keep everything the way it is now as far as that goes.
Okay.
They don't want Section 8 in there. They don't want... a bunch of cars parked and jacked up and stuff like that.
Right.
They like it the way it is. They like the rules and everything in place. It suits okay. them. And we're fine with that. We want
that's
to do,
a good thing. That's a positive.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We want to do that. But the problem we found is that for several years, there was nothing done to maintain them houses. And we would get people...
Deferred maintenance issue, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. It dumped on us. When they left, I think it was September 11th, we had to meet, and I think 13th, they were packing up and hauling butt out there. And
now, they being?
Daryl in Virginia.
Okay.
Now, what
so
they
the maintenance
did,
person and the administrator.
That's right. We had our meeting on September the 11th. That following Saturday, Daryl Wilson was seen at Safe Harbor. Now, understand this. They were supposed to be on a three-month sabbatical, taking all their sick time and their leave and their vacation.
So they came to. So I guess they would report to the board. They came to y'all and say, "We're taking."
I was not a board member at the time.
Okay.
I definitely was not a board member at the time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was not a sitting board member at
right,
the time.
Right. Because we're talking about what happened.
They contested all mine.
You were, even though you were appointed, they contested you.
They contested it. They contested it.
They didn't want you as part of the board.
Okay. No. They. I know them personally. I've known. You know, I don't have anything against them, but they know my character, and I'm not going to do anything to put myself in harm's way.
Right.
And I'm definitely not going to do anything to hurt anybody else.
So they say, okay, well, we're taking time off for accrued vacation or sabbatical or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
So who's running Safe Harbor at that
exactly
point?
What we asked. Exactly what we asked. We got no response.
So nobody is running?
200 missed calls. 200 missed calls when we come into that building on the answering machine. We have just now called up with getting in touch with everybody and going ahead and we still don't know everything that's wrong, because a lot of people have given up on the management, saying, look, there's no reason to go tell them we got a problem. They're not going to fix it anyway.
All right, so before we run to the news break here, and if you're just joining us, talking to Johnny Hatcher with the Bilo Battery Housing Board and the situation down there that we've talked about over time. So they take the sabbatical or whatever, but you mentioned it earlier, I said we'd circle around to it. The compensation package for the administration and the maintenance is how much? What's the salary?
Hers was $120,000 for a 97-unit property. Unheard of.
I mean,
it doesn't happen. It doesn't even happen with government.
That's saying something. Though.
Yes, they don't even do it. She was twice the amount what a government worker would be getting
so
for doing the same thing.
As the administrator, and then her husband.
Her husband, another, was it... 89,000
because it's 200 but the couple together $220,000. So who signed off on those salaries?
The current board at the time, which
they
was
said
the
they said
of,
did they come up and say, here's what we think you should be paid, or the, I mean, where'd they come up with those numbers?
Either that board, in my humble opinion, were idiots or complicit. That's just it. You can't explain it any other way.
I mean, this is, and we looked at it after I first heard the story. You're absolutely correct. This is very different than the compensation for similar jobs in municipalities that even have way more houses.
That's exactly right. Listen, they got a $75,000 bonus in January.
Based on what?
We have no idea. We don't know. The place has been sued two or three times because people falling through the floors. Does that sound like a man should deserve a bonus,
but this is
for his maintenance.
But this is a deal, and run the break here, because so we can get back. But this is a deal. This compensation, salary, and then bonus. This is in the discretion of the board.
It is, absolutely.
The board made this deal. Said, "Here's y'all's deal. Y'all want to take it?"
You know, that's particulars that are going to be worked out through the authorities. I assure you of that. That's definitely being looked into, and looked in very hard.
All right, we're coming right back. More Johnny Hatcher talking about Bilo Battery, the Housing Board, and the story that has driven a lot of conversation on this show. We'll get some more facts in the mix when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Remember, you can get our podcast a lot of different places. A la carte, you can get it from the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Just pick the hour and the show you're looking for. Or you subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer. Listen, if there's a podcast platform out there, good chance our podcasts are waiting for you right there. So sign up and follow us there. All right, continue our conversation with Johnny Hatcher with the Bilobattery Housing Board. I guess it's important to point out, too, that what we're talking about here, your process of getting on the board, because that was held up.
Okay. My process of getting on the board was 4 years ago. Annette Johnson was the outgoing mayor. She had an appointment come up. She appointed me to the board. The board denied me the seat on the board. Four other members said no.
Told me the mayor has the right of appointing the person to the board.
Absolutely. Robert Rules of Order is very clear on this. What they did was illegal. They could not do that. They could go to court and get an injunction.
Okay.
Now, but you can't tell me, no, you can't sit, because we say you can't sit. Go get a judge and prove me wrong. Well, then I have to carry that burden and the cost, and it's just not...
It's not how it works, right.
Yeah, the law is clear on that. Doesn't work that way.
So after that, I
advice from a very good friend of mine told me, Johnny, do you really want to fight that to go sit on a board to help people that don't want you there? And I thought about it.
Well, that's not a bad question, Johnny.
Yeah. And I said, you're right. There's no reason to go out there and do that. If you're not wanted, why do it?
Right.
So I left it alone. Well, then the mayor that took her place contacted me back in, April or so. Okay. And wanted to meet with me. Said he had some suspicions. There were some bad things going on out there, and he wanted someone out there he could trust, and felt like that was me for whatever reason. I had no idea.
Makes the appointment.
He makes the appointment. They challenge it. This time, that mayor was still sitting, and he says, no, we're not going to do this again. I want you on that board. And I said, well, I'm not going to fight this, financially. He said, we'll fight it financially. We'll pay for that. I said, well, if you're willing to do that, I'm more than happy to sit on it. Well, we had a court hearing set up and everything, and as everything progressed, they continued to fight it, but as it progressed, we finally got a court date. It was in September. So after we had the court date and they agreed that they were going to, that they had no choice but to seat me,
right,
that we went ahead and done an emergency meeting. We sat down, and another board member at that particular time came up, and Michael Burdheim was replaced with that board member. It was Scotty. Scotty passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So the mayor wisely put someone that has board experience on there, and Michael and I called for an emergency meeting because there was also – well, I'm sorry, let me back up. Michael Burdheim got put on there. Then as soon as Michael Burdheim got put on there, Johnny Joyner, the current board member, who's also a former chief of police of Bilobattery, decided he didn't want to be on there anymore for whatever reason. So he's out. So then the mayor wisely appoints Paul Birch. So he has three people on there that are new people, for three very like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
We had an emergency meeting. We went ahead and made Michael the chairman, made me the treasurer, and Paul the vice chairman or co-chairman. So after doing that, I get a phone call telling me you can't do that from one of the board members, Marcy Stork. And I said, yes, we can. Your attorney, Doug Anderson, told me we could. We had to have the majority. We have the majority. We called for a special meeting.
Right, three of y'all.
We did it. Yeah. So as soon as that happened, right after that, everybody resigned. Daryl, Virginia, Marcy, and Annette. I can't think of Annette's last name, but she also worked at the Bilobattery Police Department as a dispatcher.
Okay.
All these are educated people. Mm-hmm. These are not stupid people.
Right.
Matter of fact, Virginia Huddleston brags about having an MBA.
And she is the administrator, if you didn't catch it earlier. And we got about 30 seconds before we go to the news break. But is there any repercussions? So the board that signed the deal, that put this package together for the $220,000 combined in salary plus the bonus, is there any repercussion for the board?
We, as a board, have a fiduciary duty.
Okay.
We are responsible
to
for
the
those
people
money,
of Violet Battery.
To the housing authority.
To the housing authority.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And yes, to answer your question plain and simple, absolutely. And we are exploring them as we speak.
Because it does bring up question, and we're up against a break here, but it does bring up a question of how that deal came together. It was so out of line. And then we hadn't even gotten to the retirement discussion. Right?
Oh,
so when we come back, we'll talk about the retirement that would go with that great job in the Bayou. All right, coming right back. And we'll get your questions on the text line. Johnny Hatcher, our guest. And we return in just minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Online at fmtalk1065.com. Also, of course, this podcast will post next hour. You can grab it as well, because there's a lot to digest in our conversation with Johnny Hatcher with the Bayou Battery Housing Authority, and talking about this story that, it was some Land App reporting that that really got my attention on this. I say got my attention as almost broke my neck, turn around to look at this story. I did one of those, say what? And we're talking about it because firsthand experience what's happened in the Bayou. Johnny's talking about it. Okay, I want to go back here. If people are just joining us, Johnny. So the mayor appoints the board. This is back in 2016.
That's right.
Right. Mayor appoints the...
It was before then. It was after Katrina.
So it had been 06.
So it was Stan Wright who originally appointed the board.
Who struck the deal with Huddleston?
That was in 2016. The mayor at the time... the board at the time.
Yeah. So it was 2016.
Darryl Wilson, 2016. Yeah. I have no idea who else was on the board other than Darryl Wilson.
But that board struck a deal with to run the Safe Harbor Housing Authority. You said now 97 homes there?
Yes.
And one of the board members, I'm just kind of filling this back in, so one of the board members at that time, after Ms. Huddleston took the job, she hired one of the board members to work for her.
Absolutely, who is now her husband.
Now her husband, okay. So that's where the two salaries come together, $220,000. I mean, let's talk about this. I don't care where you are in Southwest Alabama, a family brings in $220,000. And good for them. If people can do it on the right way, good for them. I encourage it. It's a lot of money compared to, I'd say, the average income in Mobile County.
In the same respected
field. Yeah. Or the same respective field, anywhere, right? For
exactly.
Administering 97 houses.
Yeah.
So I'm just setting that for a standard. But the board signed off on this. The board said, yes, we want to hire you, and we're going to pay you this. And now that you want to hire Darryl to work, then we're going to pay him that.
Well, it started off a little different. The board before, this actual board who's went into this outlandish contract and addendums, only give her, I think it was like $64,000.
Okay, so something more in line.
Which was very high pay for that position, to be honest with you.
But at least it's...
But it was comparable to today's rate.
Yeah.
That's about what today's rate is.
Okay.
So it was actually high then.
But at least it's not...
It wasn't astronomical.
Okay.
And Darryl went to work out there for $15 an hour as a maintenance guy in the beginning.
Okay.
And it evolved into $89,000.
$15,000. It's a pretty good evolution on salary. So, and those decisions on what the compensation for those two jobs were decided by the board.
Absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned the retirement thing. We mentioned it before we went in the break. This is the one that leads a lot of people picking up their jaw. So the retirement, is it after X number of years of service? Is it after reaching certain goals? How was that established, that retirement?
It was reached. Look, their retirement was reached, I'm sure.
Right, usually you get retirement like, you're 30 years in the company.
They're now going over their finances going, wow, we really don't have a retirement. We need one now. But retirement there? No, it never started off as a retirement there. It's not big enough to be able to support that.
Right.
This is not a government entity.
Right.
It does not support that. It's not there.
And the only cash flow into it at this point now is what the rents are coming in, right?
Yeah. And here's another thing about their retirement, their outlandish retirement plan. They never contributed a dollar, not $1.
Right. It wasn't a match or anything for them.
So let's go back to the $75,000 bonus that they got. You know,
on top of the salary,
what's very odd about that? They never deposited that $75,000 that we know of or kept it anywhere. Now, the $69,000...
Was the check cashed?
Or? Yeah, it was given to them. Yeah, it's cashed.
Okay.
But what's funny about that is the $69,000 they both got each,
mm-hmm.
69 for Darryl, 69 for Virginia.
The bonus.
Yeah, the bonus. They turned around 2 months later, they got that. 2 months later, they turn around and get that. Then they turn around and take $50,000 each and put in retirement funds for themselves at a firm that evidently her family owns.
Okay.
I would mention her name, but I don't want to give any publicity.
Yeah. Well, okay, but I mean, so there's that, but the one that is the retirement, the big number.
But here's the thing, though. That was their back retirement. Is what that was supposed to be.
Back, I only got one, Johnny. I'm kind of a hayseed. I just got the one retirement.
Yeah, the bonuses that they give them was supposed to be for their back retirement, is what they claim.
Okay.
That they never contributed to. There was nothing there. It's all a prequel to the big scam.
Okay.
It's just a scam is all this is.
Well, lay it down. So the scam works how?
So they go ahead and they say, okay, now we have a retirement fund. Now we have to fund it all the way into the future, which Doug Anderson said they cannot do.
Doug Anderson is?
Their attorney they hired.
Okay.
And prior to him telling them they couldn't do it, Brent Day not only told them they couldn't
Another
do
attorney.
It, sent them a certified letter with the case law telling them they couldn't do it.
You cannot establish this and fund forward
That's
your
right.
retirement.
That's right. Doug Anderson told them they could not leave there with millions of dollars. His words, not mine.
And that was the number, the millions of dollars got so many people's attention because the way I understand it, Johnny, that it was based on now this safe harbor we're talking about was going to be sold.
Yes. And then people were going to be left out to do what?
By whom? By the city of Bilobattery? By the board? Who does? I mean, it belongs to the people of Bilobattery.
Goes back to the big scheme here. They turned around and went to the city of Bilobattery and said, look, we want to build homes out here and make it bigger and better, but we can't do it unless y'all give us the property. We're not going to invest in something we don't own.
Who is they saying that?
The housing authority.
Housing authority.
So the housing authority goes to them and they tell them this. Well, so the city listens. Well, a few of them says, no, we don't really want to do this. But they said, you know what? Fine. We're going to go ahead and yield. We're going to let y'all do this. So they go ahead, when they get it, the first thing they did,
okay.
They didn't try to build a house. The first thing they did was put it up for sale.
They just did did they just write it over to them, change it, or did they sell it
I'm not sure about that. I think they, for a nominal fee, like a dollar or something, you know what I mean? I don't know how
that
they
is a huge,
exactly.
I mean,
they transfer the property to them. I don't think there was
that's
any
a big
money.
Asset for the city of Bilobattery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very big asset.
And it was just transferred over.
Just transferred over. Just give it to them.
And
but in hopes, now let me be fair to the city of Bilobattery and the council persons.
Okay.
They done it in hopes to see them build more houses out there.
That was a promise.
Grow
if you
the
do
community.
This,
yes.
Okay.
You know, the more you build in a community, the more tax revenue and base
sure,
you have.
Sure.
And that's part of its name of the game.
Right.
So. To
it's
their defense,
be a lot of,
that's
gotta
why
be a
they
lot
did.
Of revenue.
They wanted to see some growth, and they didn't see anything. What they saw was somebody trying to turn around and sell it and put millions of dollars in their pocket.
Talk about something, too. Let's just talk about what stuff sells for. Because, and I know that, you know, I'm a realistic person. Feds come in and spend more money on things than we would in the private sector.
Yes.
These things are true, okay? Mm-hmm. But if I understand this correctly, the federal money, the HUD money was $17
million That's right.
for Safe Harbor. How much was it up for going to be sold for?
They had an offer at $4.5 million.
So I'm no math magician here, Johnny, but that's $13 million in loss. I mean,
you have no idea how many people told me that they, you know, Steve Green is a very prominent builder in Mobile,
mm-hmm.
and he told me, he says, man, he said, that ain't a bad deal at all. He said, you could make some serious money by buying it at that. He said,
a $13 million discount.
Yeah, Steve considered it. I mean, because you're paying what, roughly $40,000 a house,
mm-hmm.
$45,000 a house. Who wouldn't do it?
And what's
plus
the average
the
rent?
Property, the extra property.
Listen to me. What's the average rent? I'm doing math.
The average rent out there is somewhere around 26, 20, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean,
I'd do that.
Yeah, sure you would. Anybody would. It was a no-brainer.
I'm running numbers over here.
But here's the thing. If they were going to, and they talked about they were going to invest back in the community. How are you going to invest back in the community when you've taken all the money, $4.1 million out that has to be paid before anything else is what you've got written out in your contract before anything is paid, Sean?
And in the contract,
they get theirs.
Right. So that's this idea for the funding the retirement, that the sale of the property at $4.1
million,
yeah. $4.1 of the $4.5
yes.
would go to fund the retirement
absolutely.
Of the administrator and yes. the head of maintenance.
One lump sum payment to them.
To pay out the retirement going forward.
Yes, forward. Pay it forward. That's a gig, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and so many people are saying this is jaw-dropping. Y'all, this is why I keep talking about this story. It is jaw-dropping to look at it, that this deal was put together, the board signed off on it, even though you said two attorneys said don't do this, right?
Yes, two attorneys, very prominent attorneys. Now, one of them is a prosecutor. Brent Day is a prosecutor in Balabatri. He sent them the case law, telling them you can't, and it told them you couldn't do it, certified letter, and the case law backing it up why they couldn't. Then they turn around and go lawyer shopping, and they get Doug Anderson. Doug Anderson, in his field, is one of the best. He is the managing partner of Burr Foreman. Doug Anderson tells them you cannot fund your retirement in the future, and you certainly can't leave there with millions of dollars.
But, so the board is aware of that conversation, as are Huddleston.
You know what? If they're not, then they're negligent in their duties. So if they say they're not, then I'd like to know why not.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. So either they said, well, to heck with it, let's just roll the dice, or there was some reason that why do you believe this was signed off on?
My honest opinion, in my humble opinion, complicit.
That the people on the board,
I just can't see it any other way. I have a hard time.
I'm trying to understand motivation here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Me too. But I can tell you this, I can't speak too much of what we do know because there's an ongoing investigation, not only with the Sheriff's Department, but with other entities. I really don't want to speak about that. But I can tell you this, this is not going to end well for them. And the people who are sitting back and holding the line and saying, look, we're going to ride it to the end. That's it. It's going to be an end. And when it comes, you're not going to like it. If there were some people out there that's you know, interested in saving their butt, if I were them, I'd run fast and go find the Sheriff's Department, Detective Bush, or I would, well, I can't speak on that, but I can just tell you, it's going to get a lot worse before it ever gets better for them.
But there's so many questions on why of this, but I can tell you this whole thing is a disservice to the people of Balabatri.
Absolutely.
Citizens that live in Safe Harbor or just live in Balabatri, yes. This is a disservice to those citizens.
Yes. These people out there at Safe Harbor, you know, are modest people.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good people. We don't have any roughnecks or trash out there.
Right.
We've got good people. And I'm going to tell you something. They deserve better. And, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure them homes are brought up to par, and we're going to keep the cost down as low
as
we can.
That was the purpose of this program.
That is exactly right. And we're going to do everything we can to make it a good community, and one of which that they, you know, can be proud of.
All right, coming right back, we'll talk more about this as we wrap it up on Midday Mobile. A lot of text here, questions. We'll get those asked when we return our guest, Johnny Hatcher, with the Balabatri Housing Board. But recently. Not 2016.
Very recently.
We just keep pointing that out.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Continuing our conversation with Johnny Hatcher, Balabatri Housing Board, and the situation down there. So okay, let's put it in language you and I can understand. Are we in the first quarter of this, second quarter? Are we at halftime? Where are we?
We are very, very methodical in how we move on this. We want to make sure we dot all the I's, cross all the T's. Time's on our side.
Okay.
Let me tell you this, Sean. I would love to go ahead and throw some cuffs on right now.
Cuffs?
Oh, yes. Yes, we would. I would thoroughly love to do that and get this over with as soon as possible to move past
pretty
it.
Pretty strong language there, cuffs. Is
yeah, really? It is what it is. But I can just tell you this. You know, my father told me years ago, you know, there's only one thing worse than death, and that's the anticipation of death. And I can just imagine that there's a lot of people out there right now that were involved in this that are waiting by that phone every day when it rings and they don't know that number. I guarantee you they're wondering who it is. And it worries them. And I guarantee there's a lot of other people worrying about, is today the day?
So there's more to come on this. I want to ask, before we run out of time, too, you talk about Paul Birch, of course, Paul Birch with Mobile County Sheriff's Department.
Absolutely.
And one of the board members.
Absolutely. Paul Birch, obviously, because we don't want it to be considered a conflict, Paul Birch is not involved with the investigation itself.
Okay.
Has no involvement whatsoever, but he is a board member, and he is definitely, like you say, eye-popping and jaw-dropping. Every time we turn around, it's something new, and it's just like it's he has been a very big asset to the board. Paul Birch is one of the smartest men I know. He's one of the best detectives there is. I mean, you talk about investigators. He's definitely closed some serious cases that other people couldn't close.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about the guy who buried his mom up underneath the porch.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul did that. The cadaver dogs couldn't find it, but he found that body. I mean, the guy's smart.
But he
understands where to look, where the people don't. So,
but he's not on this investigation.
No, he's not. But let me tell you what he is on. He's on the board, and we also have the authority by law to do our own investigation, and we do have subpoena power as well.
The board does.
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely.
So, interesting.
Which is totally different from what's going on with the Sheriff's Department. He's not involved with that. But let me tell you something. On the board,
but the board, the board itself, not because of law enforcement, because of the board has subpoena power.
We haven't. Yes, we can. This is into our own entity. Yes, we can.
So what do you? And wherever we are, first quarter, second quarter, halftime, third quarter.
Let me tell you something. It's we're moving the ball down the field. I can tell you that.
Okay.
And we're not being stopped at all.
right. Which is
every play that we've made has been successful.
This is also a question I want to ask you. Just in the bayou, what if folks? I mean, I asked you at the beginning, but I want to come back around to that. Were people like, "Holy cow, this was going on," or "Oh, we knew this was going on," or?
You know, the bayou is a very unique place. There's a lot of drama that happens down there a lot. People just, you know, it's close knit, very close knit.
Yeah,
I was, you know, I was raised up down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised down there. My family lived down there, and I stayed down there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Clark's Grocery was right there, and that's where everybody went to go get candy for Halloween and such this time of year. Just good people. And I can tell you this, you won't find better people than you find in Bala Battery. They are really good people. And does it? Yes, they're ashamed of this. They cannot stand seeing this happen again. They're tired of this stuff.
Because I say it this way, and with due respect, because, I mean, one of the reasons I'm so interested, I got friends in the bayou. I got, you know, phones, people that, the people in the bayou have been taken advantage of more than once, more than twice, more than three times.
Yes. Well, let me just say this. Let's go back to the beginning of this. You know, Stan Wright got a bad rap on all this when all this stuff first happened.
Well, I mean, this was the property that Safe Harbor sits on, right?
Well, no, absolutely not. See, that's a misconception. It's not the property that it sits on.
It's
the small entrance that went in there. It's like a quarter, half acre. Instead of them moving it,
it's like the easement.
They could have moved it. But they didn't want to. They could have moved it. Stan didn't really want to sell the property, to be honest with you. It's not something he said. He didn't lobby to do this. They lobbied him.
Okay.
And he did ask counsel, could he do that? And, you know, several times he's told me, counsel told him he could do that. It's just a mistake. It was a bad mistake on his part. But when counsel tells you can do something, what would you do?
Well, in light of all the things we've talked about, I would...
But he
get about a dozen attorneys to give me an opinion.
Stan Wright did a good. It was a good thing. It was a worthwhile thing to do, and he worked hard to get it done. And you know what? Could they have moved that road? Yes, but they kept complaining and saying, "Look, if we do it, it's going to cost this much more, and this, that, and the other."
Right.
Look, if you'll just sell it to us for this amount, we can do it. That's half Let us just do that. So, you know, he got a bad rap on that and actually got some time out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this. I don't care what anybody thinks of me for taking up for him. He's done more for Ballabatchery before any other mayor and after. But I'll tell you this. Terry Downey has done a stellar job. He took a failing economic city out there and turn it into something that's worthwhile now. Because let me tell you something, Brent Dungan ruined that place. He about had it bankrupt. He did not do a good job at all.
All right. We're going to, depending on what quarter we're in, we're going to get a recap here in the future. Johnny, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate everything.
All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll check y'all tomorrow morning, bright and early, or late and midday, whenever you want to hear me.